before we open God's word this afternoon. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, before thee do we come in this afternoon hour with much thankfulness in our hearts for this opportunity that we have to gather here in thy house, this place, this building that was dedicated and built for solely thy worship, for thy service, for thy praise. And Father, we pray asking that thou wouldst be with us as we would serve thee, as we would look into thy word, and give unto us willing hearts and minds to receive a message from thy word, that we would apply it to our lives and live more faithfully unto thee each and every day of our lives. For we pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. For this afternoon hour's reading, I'd like to turn and read together with God's help from the book of James, chapter number 2, and read from verse 14 to the end. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14 to the end. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I believe we all know that it is only through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross that we have salvation. None of us for one second believes that there's anything we can do, anything that we can offer to the Lord that would cover our sin. We all know that that is not the case. Only our faith will save us. And the verses that we read most often to point us in this direction are in Ephesians chapter 2, which is the chapter we read last Sunday morning for the baptism service. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. We often read these verses, and we love them, we believe them, we know that they are true. Only through faith and belief in our Lord Jesus Christ can we be saved. It does not have anything to do with our works, because if it did, then the Bible even says, we would boast. We would brag, and we would say that our works are better than our brothers or our sisters. We would have this boldness, this evil boldness about us to think that we are something. And God's word eliminates any chance for that because we rely only on faith, not on ourselves. But that being said, we should never have the attitude about us that our works don't matter. We should never have the thought or even arrogance about us to think that our works don't matter at all because we are saved through faith. Our works don't matter. They do matter. And that is what James here is writing in the second half of the second chapter that we have read. He is describing the importance of our works as Christians. He's describing here, as we started reading in the 14th verse, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And he goes on and describes the situation. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? There could be a situation where someone comes to us in need, in a serious need for help. And if we just send them on their way and say, we'll pray for you, and we don't give them, and we are able to give them those things which they need, and we don't do that, then our faith doesn't profit us, because we are not working for the Lord. We're not using those opportunities that he has given us to serve him. Maybe God has presented us with an opportunity that we have to serve him. Maybe someone else could not fulfill that need that someone else had, and we can. And God has pointed that person to us so that we could fulfill that need. And if we don't do that, then we are in sin. And that's what James says later in the 4th chapter. In the last verse, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if someone comes to us with this need, whatever it may be, and we can supply that which is needed, and we choose not to, it is sin. That's what the Bible says. And it continues, and it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead. Our faith does not profit us if it is not followed with works. Again, that's not to say that our works save us. We know that they do not. But faith working together with good works perfects both the faith and the works, and then we are saved. And that's what James is describing here in the second chapter. God is calling us as his children to work for him, to be laborers in his vineyard is an allusion that we often refer to. We are to labor in his kingdom, to do his will. And that is pleasing unto the Father when we do these good works. In Matthew's gospel, I believe it's a verse we all know very well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the purpose of our good works. Not for us to show our good works to others. No, but it's to give our Father in heaven the glory that is due unto him. That's the sole purpose for our good works, is to give God his glory that he deserves, that he must have. And even if we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, those two verses, 8 and 9, that we read of how we are saved by grace through faith, verses 8 and 9, if we continue on and read in verse 10, right after it says how we are saved only through faith, it says in verse 10, for ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is how we are created in Christ Jesus. We are created anew. We are a new creature in Christ, and we're to go forth as new creatures doing good works, again, that please the Father, and to give him the honor and the glory, never ourselves. A similar thought is recorded in Hebrews, the book before James, where it says in chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is the attitude that we are to have one with another, to provoke one another, to build each other up, that we can go forward in our lives and do more good, never to be content with the amount of good that we have done, but to do more. And in Timothy, 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to young Timothy and giving him instruction. In chapter 6, verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So Paul is writing to Timothy and encouraging him to encourage those who have abundance in this life, not only to be rich in the monetary possessions of this world, be instructing those people that are rich in this world to also be rich in good works, to do good, to be ready to distribute, ready to give of themselves. That is how we are to be as believers. There are many other verses we can read in the Bible that are exhorting us to good works, to labor again in God's kingdom, in his vineyard, to work for him. That's how the life of a Christian must be. It must be a life of work, not a life that we can lay back and rely on our faith and say, I was baptized and I have faith and that's enough. No, but God is calling us to more, to serve him more. Not only to claim that we believe him, but to show how we believe him, to show others how we believe in him, and ultimately to give God the glory that he is again so worthy of. In James, chapter 2 that we have read, verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So what is belief? What does belief do for us if it is not followed up by works? It does us no good. The devils also believe in God. Does that mean that they are saved? Of course not. The devils know who God is, and they know that their ultimate end is damnation, destruction. They know their end. They know who God is, how holy he is. They believe and they tremble, knowing their state, knowing their future, knowing their final ending is death. They tremble. So are we to simply rely on our faith and not labor for the Lord? No, that does us no good. Does us no good at all. And James so eloquently puts that here in the second chapter, how a Christian should work for the Lord. Always be ready to work. Always be ready to do the Father's will. Even Abraham is written of here. He is described and nicknamed as the father of faith. But it says here, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Yes, that is true. He was justified, made pure by his faith. But it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? The Lord presented him with a challenge. Would he be willing to offer his only son Isaac on the altar? And we know that Abraham was. He was willing to offer his son. So with his works, his faith was made perfect. And when his faith was made perfect, his faith grew even more, and he became even more faithful. And it goes on to here to describe Rahab the harlot as well. The harlot, someone who lived a disgusting, evil life. She was justified by her works because she received the messengers. There were spies, Israeli spies sent into Jericho to scope out the land. And Rahab received them and hid them on her roof. And they were not found. And Rahab here is described as being one of faith. And even she is described in Hebrews 11, where it gives many examples of faithful believers. Rahab herself is mentioned here, where it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It was by her faith, and then through her faith she had the work to perfect her faith, to do God's will. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. How great a faith was required from the Israeli people, the children of God. How great a faith was required to have victory against Jericho, this great city with a massive wall all around it. They had faith that God would deliver unto them Jericho. But that faith also required work. They were also required to go daily and march around that city daily. That was their work that God was requiring of them, to perfect that faith. And again, that's why it speaks so much here in James 2 of how our works together with faith make us perfect, make us stronger, make us more whole, make us more ready to serve the Lord. The Lord is always giving us opportunities. We can't ignore these opportunities and think that we can rely on our faith. We often hear in sermons in our church how we can't simply look to the day we were baptized and lean only on that and nothing else if our life has nothing to show for how we have been living. If our life does not show at all that we are a child of God, then that means we are not. It means we're not a child of God. We have to show it. We have to show God. Not to justify ourselves, not to boast, not to say, look at the things that I have done. No. None of those things can ever stand. None of those things can ever make us righteous. But our faith has to have works that accompany it, or else that faith is dead, being alone, as we have read. So even as faith without works is dead, being alone, so can works be dead without faith. If we do works seeking to save our souls without faith, the works do us no good. We can give all our money to the poor. We can go about doing good without ceasing, but it does us no good if it's not accompanied with faith. Works without faith are also dead, being alone. We have to have both faith and then accompany that faith with good works to bring God honor and glory that he is again so worthy of. But we know that God's judgment is perfect. We know that at the end of the world, we will all give an answer for what we have done or not done. We'll be judged according to our deeds and according to our faith. But God's judgment is perfect. There will be some who perhaps did not even have the opportunity to serve him. They did not have the opportunity to do these good works because of maybe they were converted in an old age. Or maybe they couldn't work for the Lord, preventing that from happening. But the Lord knows that. He knows the heart of each and every one of us. And he knows even if we don't do those works for such and such reason, he knows exactly the reason why, and he knows exactly how much we would work for him if we could have. God's judgment is perfect. But God is requiring of us fruit. He's requiring of us good works. You know the example of Jesus when he saw the fig tree that had no fruit on it. He cursed it, and it withered immediately. It had no fruit. How can we then expect any different outcome for us at the judgment if we have no works to show for our life of faith? So we claim a life of faith. If we have no works to go with that, how can we expect to be justified? Justified means to be made pure, to be made whole, to be made righteous. How can we expect to be justified without having done anything for the Lord? We can't. We can't expect anything. And a similar thought is recorded in Titus. Titus, the first chapter, at the end, it speaks of those who are unbelievers. In the last verse of Titus chapter 1, it says, they, speak of the unbelievers, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. People can profess. They can profess to know God. They can claim that they know God. But in their works, they can deny everything that he stands for. So this faith that they claim does them no good. Because God sees through that. He sees into their hearts. And he sees that there is no pureness in that heart that wants to serve him. God's judgment is also written of in Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning at verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So these believers went about doing good works, went about serving the Lord without even realizing it, without even realizing what they are doing. That is the perfect embodiment, the perfect description of the life of a believer. We go around doing good, not even realizing we are doing it. But because God is working through us. It's not us. Let's never think that it's ourselves that can do some great thing. It's God working through us, in us, that gives us the ability to do these good works, again, without even realizing it. He goes on, he says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no drink, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of these, to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So there's a second description here of those who are not saved. Those who thought they had some great faith about them, thought that they lived for the Lord. They didn't even realize when these opportunities came up to do good, they didn't even realize the opportunities were there. And they didn't do anything with them. They were not in tune with God. They were not in tune with God's will for their lives. And because of that, they are going to give an answer. They're going to go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And it sounds very harsh. But again, God knows the hearts of each and every one of us. He knows how much will there is in our hearts to truly serve him. He knows when we give something without a love, without a faith at all. He knows when we give something without really even desiring to give it. He knows that. He sees right through it. So why fake it? Why try to fake before God who we really are? He knows us better than we know ourselves. We see all the time massive corporations give out checks of millions of dollars to some charity. And they proclaim it for all the world to see. That does not bring God honor and glory. Yes, that money can go to help somebody. It can certainly help those who are in need. But it doesn't bring God any honor or any glory. God instructs us that when we give, to not let the other hand know what the other hand is giving. That is the life of a Christian. That is an example for us as his people. We're to give and to do these good works. Not only giving. Giving is a big part of it. But not only giving. Giving of our money. Giving of our possessions. Giving of our time. It can be many things. Doing these good works to give God the honor and the glory. That perfects our faith. That will make it possible for us to face the trials that the devil will present to us. Because then our faith that we claim to have is perfected. It's made stronger through our good works. And again, we don't even realize what we're doing. That's how our lives should be as Christians. Our lives should not be centered around doing good in order to save our souls. We know that's not possible. We can't say, I have sinned today, so I'm going to make up for that sin by doing something good. Again, that's also mentioned very often in our sermons. But it's true. We can never make up, we can never repay our evil deeds that we have done. To try to repay our sins, to try to repay God for our sins, is doing nothing other than trampling all over the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we are saying that Jesus Christ is not holy. We're saying we don't need him. If we try to perfect our sins, try to cover up our sins with our works. That's not what I'm describing here. We all know that is not possible. That's not the case. But God is also instructing us to good works, to work for him. Let's not ignore these opportunities that come up in our lives. These opportunities do come up. I believe we all know that. These opportunities do come up when we have an opportunity to serve him. Let's not pass them up. Let's not pass them up and give them to somebody else and think somebody else has more than me. They can give. I'll just pray with them. I'll pray that the Lord would provide this needy person with someone who can fulfill that need. Let's not have that prayer if we can be the one that can fulfill that need. It may be, again, that God is presenting us with a need, asking us to fulfill it. And then when we do so, that faith, that bold faith that we claim in Jesus Christ is perfected. Faith is made perfect with good works. James here understood that. He writes it very, very beautifully, describes how important works are in the life of a Christian. We must go about doing good. The world must see a difference in us. How can we go around in the world and claim to be his people when no one sees a difference in us? We can say, I have been baptized, I have a faith in Jesus Christ, but if the world doesn't see a difference in my heart, in my life, they're not going to be interested in listening. They can see right through that. If the world can see right through us, then we better believe that God can see right through us even more. There's nothing we can hide from him. Let's never try to. But let's go forward in our lives daily, seeking every opportunity that we have to do good, to be a peacemaker, to do his work here on this earth. God is instructing us to plant and to water in his vineyard, but God is God ultimately that must give the increase. We can do good, and we should do good, and we are asked to do good, but it must be God that gives the increase. But let's not think for one second that we can give the increase, because we can't. And let's also not think for one second that I shouldn't plant and water because I can't give the increase anyway. No, the Lord is asking for help from us to proclaim his message, his will, his message of salvation for all humanity. We're called to be an ambassador for Christ. What an amazing word, an amazing term that is, an ambassador. What an amazing title for us to be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ here on earth. And we can do that by our good works, which gives God, our Heavenly Father, the honor and glory that is due unto him. Amen.
The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We pray to God, as the disciples did, that our faith would be increased, that our faith would be stronger and stronger in the Lord. And it was made manifest in the time of the apostles that as they beheld the glory of Jesus Christ and they seen his miracles, that their faith was increased. And their faith became whole as the Holy Spirit came to them on the day of Pentecost. And so their faith was real to them. Their faith was increased. And it was so large in their lives that it had to be accompanied by works. And we see that in the Acts of the Apostles, that they went forth and they did works that glorified the Lord, that pointed to the Lord. And so likewise in our lives, that our faith would be so strong and so real that it has to be accompanied by works. It cannot be otherwise. And so we need to please the Lord, and our faith in him is what pleases him. And our faith needs to be, again, that large, that magnificent, that strong, that it has to be accompanied by works. And we do these things, again, to give glory to the Lord and to magnify him and to show our appreciation for what he has done in saving our souls and having that faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We do these things because he has been so good to us. He has been faithful to us, and we believe in him. And therefore, when we know that our souls have been saved by nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ, that our works do follow. Our works do follow in that faith. And I appreciate how the chapter ended here in chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. That's a beautiful visual of how it is that faith and works go together. And so may the Lord grant unto us that our faith would be so strong in him that it would always be accompanied by works that glorify our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.